The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events, and also what we hear in church on Sunday. Is it even in the Bible at all? Well, that's why we like to make ourselves available to answer your questions for you. That number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN, toll-free. And we would love to talk to you today as we get together and discuss these very things. You know, oftentimes when we read our Bible, when we witness, people will ask us a question or we'll have a question. Well, we like to give you good, solid answers for your faith. And again, you don't just have to put your brain in neutral when you walk into church. There's evidence for your faith. And I think that is so important. Joining me today, special guest and featured CSN speaker here on Sunday afternoons, John Randall, from San Juan Capistrano Calvary Chapel. Hi and welcome.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mike. Great to be here with you today and the CSN family on this Friday.
Always look forward to doing the program with you. Always appreciate your wisdom and knowledge, having been a pastor for over, several decades at least. At least, I know of at least one.
Yeah, time goes by pretty quickly, but yeah, now into 25 years of being
two decades and a half.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, so glad you're with us, and again, looking forward to answering some questions with you. What's going on at San Juan Capistrano? What's going on Sunday morning?
Well, I'll tell you, Sunday morning we have an outreach that takes place outdoors, actually, Pastor Mike, here in our South County in a place called San Clemente. And then we also have a service in the evening that takes place here within the church. And then today is kind of a big day for us. This morning, before I came on with you, we were actually in England. Well, not actually, online. We had a pastor's conference there, reaching over to the Calvary Chapels in the UK. And then tonight, we start a women's conference. It happens here with over 700 ladies on their way here tonight. So there's a lot of activity today.
Wonderful. Looks good. And so we want to remember that in prayer, especially for those in Europe. Again, many things going on over there as they're faced with, I think, a lot of the same challenges we are, only even more severe. And so definitely want to keep them in prayer. Once again, want to remind everybody, this Sunday at the River Christian Fellowship, we have Brad Duckus with us from the Pacific Justice Institute. Now, again, he's going to be discussing a lot of important things for every Christian to know, especially in the days coming up, our legal stance, as we see America morphing into a socialist communist country as quickly as they can do it, and where that's going to leave the church. And again, communism, socialism, progressivism does not work with Christianity. Because you have to believe that the government is God, that the government is your reason to be. And again, without having a relationship with God, this leaves you open to politically them being everything to you. And so he's going to be discussing a lot of things that I think are so important. That's at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, if you're in the Twin Falls area. 10:30 on the CSN radio network and around the world on the internet. So we want to encourage you to check that out. I think that's so important. Again, John Randall, excuse me, that's you. Brad Duckus will be with us Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So look forward to being with you. Let's go to the phones. We have David on the line, San Luis Obispo. Hi and welcome.
How you doing? Hey, I really like your show. I love the station, and it's great.
Well, glad you're listening.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Hey, I got a question. Okay, Revelations at the end, it says, if any man adds to this, the plagues will be added, and anybody who takes away, their name will be blotted out. And my question is that a Christian that's teaching more than the Bible, and they get left behind during the rapture? And if it's a Christian and they take away, they're a believer. You can't be in the book of life unless you're a believer, and it's blotted out. So that's a question, just like the Hebrews 6:1, you know, where apostates and all that. So it's kind of, there's some questions there about believers and blotting out of the sure. book of life and et cetera.
Yeah, well, that's not the only place you find it. You find it in Revelation chapter 3:2, where he directs it at a church. He said that if you don't repent, basically, I won't blot your name out of the book of life. The English structure, the Greek structure of it, both, either way, is that because of the lifestyle of this one particular church, they were in great trouble. And so if they repented, he would not blot their name out of the book of life. So they were in trouble. Now, the idea of, hey, I walked an aisle, I'm saved, I can live like hell, and I'm still going to heaven. I don't know where that doctrine comes from. They based that upon a couple of fragmented verses in the Bible without looking at the other one. No one will pluck you out of my hand and all. I agree. No one can pluck you out of God's hand, but I believe you can remove yourself. Jesus himself, and I know he's not much of an authority anymore in the church, but if we go by what the Bible says, he said, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And he talks about the branches, and if they don't produce, they're cut off and burned, not your works, the individual. Now, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. In fact, it even gets more so when you get to Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus said, that evil servant, the last few verses of Matthew 24, that evil servant, calls him a servant, says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Now, this guy is laying claim to a relationship with his master. My master delays his coming. The Bible says he begins to eat and drink with the drunken. He beats his fellow man. He's a violent drunk. It says the Lord of that servant. Very clear. The Lord is not the Lord of every servant, friends. The Lord of that servant, the same one who claimed he had a relationship with the master. The Lord says, I will come when he's not expecting me and give him his portion with the hypocrites. Now, that's not going to heaven and losing your reward. You don't make it at all. Now, again, if somebody doesn't agree with that, go to a third grade English teacher and just say, what does this mean? And they can explain it to you, because whether you read it as it reads in the English or whether you read it as it reads in the Greek, it clearly speaks that a person who knows God, that is in rebellion to God, as Demas was in 2 Timothy, the last chapter, Demas, having loved this present world, has departed. Not from Paul, but from the Lord. Now, in the first chapter, first book of Timothy, he gives a glowing report about Demas, how he's a helper in the ministry and all. But it's interesting that people make their choices. I don't believe any external force can ever remove you from your relationship with God. But I do believe a person can go sideways to the point where they don't want to go to heaven. I think this is a very serious place to be. Now, again, we find very popular John MacArthur. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here. The Bible clearly says, if you take the mark on your hand or on your forehead, you will not go into heaven. That's what it says. He's come along and said, no, you can still take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. Even though you have angels flying through the midst of heaven, warning the people on the earth, you have the two prophets in the streets of Jerusalem, you have the 144,000 Jews that are servants of the Most High, warning people on this earth, don't take the mark. We have people come along and say, oh no, you can go ahead and take the mark. It doesn't matter what the scripture says. Now, he didn't say that, but what he did say is you can take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. John, your thoughts?
Well, you know, that passage of scripture referred to there, Revelation 22:18 says, I now testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. So they heard it. But if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If you are adding to the words that Jesus has spoken in the book of Revelation, you're actually taking away from it. And it's proof of the fact that you don't believe in what's being said. So if you don't believe in what Jesus said here, it's very clear these plagues you're going to experience. You're going to miss the rapture. You're going to go through these things that Jesus warned against throughout this book that John wrote here in Revelation. So to add to this is a dangerous thing, because in adding to what Jesus said, you take away from it and you suffer the consequences of it, Pastor Mike.
Yes, I agree. So David, I hope that answers your question for you.
It really does a lot. And I was going to say, to me, it almost seems like those verses are like, you're almost committing blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because you're throwing God's word and saying this isn't true. It almost seems like it could be that, even a sin.
Well,
like
and the way they get around it, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, some of the others, they, you know, where it talks about the these creatures that come out of the bottomless pit and sting men. They're not allowed to kill people, but only to torment them, I believe it is, for 6 months. Now, they say, well, these are helicopters. No, they're not helicopters. It doesn't say they're helicopters. Now, a person can say, I believe they could be helicopters. Well, that's your opinion. But to emphatically say that something in the Bible that it doesn't clearly state is saying something that it doesn't say, I believe this is adding to God's word. And we have to be very careful, and especially with the book of Revelation, because it is so pointed. It is in order. That's why you have the first seven seals. Then you have the seven trumpets. Then you have the seven bowls. And I listen to these people and they got it all jumbled up. It's no longer in order. Read a thing about a year ago. Well, this constellation that appears in the sky, this is the fifth trumpet judgment. No, it's not. It's all in order. And it begins with a guy on a white horse, the first seal, going out conquering and to conquer. That's the Antichrist. He has a bow, no arrows. He's going to do it diplomatically at first. Then it's going to turn to violence. And this is where the wars come in, when we get to the other horses there in the first seal. So when you begin to really look at this, you realize that the book of Revelation is not. Now, when the Bible is speaking as an example of metaphors, you know, Jesus said, I am the door. Now, Jesus is not a big oak door, okay? But he's saying it in the fact that unless you go through him, you won't enter into the kingdom of heaven, John 14:6. In the book of Revelation, you have a creature with 10 heads, 7 heads and 10 horns. I've been to a lot of zoos. I've never seen an animal like that. It has to be metaphorically speaking. Mm-hmm. But when the Bible says every living creature in the sea dies, it means every living creature in the sea dies. That did not happen in 70 AD. It has not happened yet in the world, but it's going to happen. In fact, the Bible says by the end of the tribulation period, this world is such an ecological disaster from those who claim to be ecologists that this is what we're going to have. By the way, see Mother Earth. We talk to Mother Earth. Mother Earth is what we're all about. I'm going to strap myself to a tree because Mother Earth. Well, let me just share something with you about Mother Earth. They talk to Mother Earth, and it's in Revelation chapter 6. Because the Bible says the world gets so bad, people are crying out to the rocks and to the mountains, fall on us and hide us, for the wrath of the Lamb has come. Isn't it interesting? They're not calling upon Jesus, but they're calling upon the rocks, Mother Earth. Well, as you study what's going on, the Bible says every living thing in the sea dies. All the grass is burned up on the earth. And friends, this is a message today that does not set well with people who want to go to church and hear a nice, fluffy sermon, bunny rabbits and baby chickies and all those kind of things that go on Because when you say this world is headed on a collision course with judgment, all the things that we value, that we put such effort into, are all going to burn. That doesn't say much. I want to hear a message where I'm in control and Jesus is my puppet. And I use my magic incantation faith words. I just blab it and grab it, claim it, possess it. It's all mine, baby. Well, what does the Bible say about that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think this is where the problem comes from. And so this is what accommodates, David, to the final part of your question. This is what accommodates the reason why people change what's in the book of Revelation, because it doesn't appeal to the flesh. The Bible says we come to the cross and die. You know, I've noticed something. When I'm sick and dying, boy, I tell you, you get the good flu sometimes, you know what I mean. Dying ain't a lot of fun. But it isn't till we die to our desires, to our things, that then God in turn can bring his about. Any last thoughts?
Well, I agree with you, Mike. I think this is a very strong warning. And whenever the Bible gives us a warning, it's important that we heed those warnings that are given. And I think that's a good word for us.
Amen. So I hope that helps, David.
It does, and I appreciate it a lot. I believe that God never takes away our free will. That's what I've gathered from Scripture. Nothing can snatch us out of His hands externally, but we can decide to not follow Him. I kind of have to believe that's what it's saying. I mean,
that's what it says. In fact, just real quickly, that verse, "No one will pluck you out of my hand," is found in John chapter 10. Jesus said before that, "I lay my life down, I take my life up, and no one takes my life from me." The word "no one" there is the same word in Greek as it is, "No one will pluck you out of my hands," both found in John chapter 10, and the only place where those words appear in the Bible. It means anything externally cannot take away what God has given you. It comes back to a choice. And that's what he's talking about. I lay my life down. I pick it up again. No one takes my life from me. No one will pluck you out of the hand of God. But there's enough verses. Again, Matthew chapter 24, the last couple of verses. Read that. That's bulletproof. There's no way around it. And I tell people this sometimes. If it obviously is not saying what it means, then what in the world does it mean? You have to wrangle Scripture to fit bad doctrine. And that's whether you're in a cult or that's whether you're in Christianity with let's bend the Scripture to fit our goofy beliefs. Friends, that's just the way it is. Listen, I was raised in a church that didn't believe the way I believe now. I love those people. I love people that don't see it the way I do. That's okay. But if you're going to really be effective for the kingdom of God, you've got to do what the Bible says and the way God says to do it. It isn't, well, you know, I'm just going to bend it a little bit here and bend it a little bit there. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all filled with the Spirit. They were all believers in the upper room, but that was the empowering. Then we find in Acts 6, the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. Well, that was a second work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't completely fulfill everything there on Acts chapter 2. So that was a time delay episode where the Holy Spirit then fell on the Gentiles. No, that's not what it says. That's wrangling Scripture. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, why does it say that? It's because they were all believers in the upper room, but they weren't empowered. That's what God does. And again, this is why Paul says in Acts 19, "Since you believe, have you been filled with the Spirit?" The reason I cite this is because, again, it's precept upon precept. If you're going to talk about anything in the Bible, look at all the verses that pertain to it, not just the ones that support your denomination or your personal beliefs. In other words, the Bible says, "I can ask anything in his name and he'll give it to me." The Bible says that. But that's providing I'm 100% in the will of God. They leave that out a lot of times. And then when we really get back to really studying what being a Christian is, it's not about me anyway. It's what God wants. But see, people change that. Well, I want that brand new shiny refrigerator, man, because I'm claiming it, possessing it. I stuck a picture of it out of the catalog and I stuck it right on my old refrigerator. And every time I walk by that refrigerator, I see that brand new one on there and I'm claiming it. Yeah. You know, you might claim yourself right out of the will of God because, you know, God may want you to go to a foreign country or a missionary or something in a month. Then what are you going to do with a new refrigerator? Hope that helps, David. Stay on the line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Jesse, Grand Junction, Colorado. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. And I just want to say I appreciate you so much. I've been listening to you now for a while, and you guys are just absolutely wonderful. I do have a,
God is good.
A concern. God is good. And I do have a concern with my life, and I got a question that's been on my mind for quite some time, and it's revolving around John 3:16, when, you know, God so loved the world and, you know, he brought his son down and whoever believed in him should never perish. So I took God into my heart, you know, quite some time ago. And I've been struggling lately with, or over the years with alcohol. And it's really putting a damper on my marriage too. And I've been praying about it for quite some time. And it seems like it's even getting worse. And I feel the presence of God around me constantly, and I just don't know why I can't kick this habit, and it's starting to affect my marriage, and, you know, and I just want to, I don't want to break down right now, but I just want to make sure that I have a place still in heaven with the problem, and I don't want to lose my family over this. So is there some guidance and kind of...
Let me just tell you, Jesse, your drinking is a symptom. There's a reason why you drink. Now, if you're alcoholic, then you probably need to get some help there. I do believe in the one-step program, and that's through Jesus Christ. But drugs, drinking, all those things, that is symptomatic of the deeper problem. In America, we're great at treating symptoms. We're terrible at addressing problems. The question is, why are you drinking? Are you drinking to be socially acceptable? Are you drinking to get the buzz on? Because Ephesians chapter 5, I call it an Ephesians 5th. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine where in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you're drinking to get a buzz, well, then that's an issue. If you're drinking to feel acceptable or to escape, that would tell me maybe you're running from sins of your past that you need to confess. There's a lot of reasons why people do what they do, but we know we have an old sin nature, an old body that's prone to addictions, and we need to be very careful what we allow ourselves to be subject to. Your thoughts, John?
You know, Jesse, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As it relates to this problem with addiction, first of all, the spiritual side of it, it starts with repentance, Jesse. And repentance means a change of mind and a change of then direction and heart. The fact that you realize that it is a struggle, the fact that you are calling and wanting to confess it and get it right and ask for counsel, I find that encouraging because it tells me the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction and that the Holy Spirit's working in your life. So you repent of that, you turn from it. That means now you move from that spiritual aspect to the practical, as Pastor Mike was saying. Hey, if you've got alcohol in your house, you need to get rid of it. If you got anything that could potentially take you back, you also need to gain accountability. Find somebody in your church, go to the pastor at your church, confess it to them, gain accountability, accountability with your wife, repentance, which leads to then these other things of taking practical steps to overcome it through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesse. The Lord can enable you to do it, brother.
Hope that helps. Now, we want to pray with you, Jesse, before you go, because I do believe that Satan can get strongholds in our lives. Not possession, but absolutely strongholds where we provide. Now, a couple of the things to do. We step out in faith, and here's some faith steps you might try. If you do not buy it, you cannot drink it. So don't buy it. Get it out of your home. Look and see why you're drinking. And I would recommend you go to the book of Philippians, because you don't need that to be a winner. The Bible already tells us who we are in him. And the devil will lie to all of us saying, oh, you're nothing. You're a failure. You better just escape, man. Hey, your answer is in the bottom of the bottle, dude. Well, the problem is that that's not solving the problem. Like you say, it's increasing the problem. Your wife is upset with you and things like that. So I would just simply encourage you to not buy it. Look at why you're drinking. If you can come to that. Now, are you part of a church?
I am. Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what I would do is I would go and pray, get a hold of the elders, have them pray over you. Now, you don't have to go into the drinking thing if you feel too embarrassed, but God knows what to just say. Hey, I need prayer for boldness and power in my life to overcome any sin, and see what God will do. Because again, look and see why you're doing what you're doing. That's going to help you a lot. And this is where you say, well, I have these things that are lacking in my life. There's these great voids in my life, and that's why I drink or why I do whatever I do. For any of our listeners that are listening, this is why we do what we do. Remember, Christ is all you need. Jesus is the answer. And so Jesus fills the void. Jesus fills that need. So I need to focus upon the author finisher of my faith, going back to him and saying, okay, Lord, help me get out of this that I need to get out of. Now, in my life, there was things in my life too. And I remember that I called a friend and somebody in the Lord that I trusted. And I said, look, if I get around these certain people, I'm in trouble. And I have to go over there and do some things, some business. I said, would you come with me? And he said, yeah. Well, just his presence being there kept me from getting into any kind of problem. This is the way God works. And so we're not in this all alone, but you've got help. Father, I pray that you deliver Jesse from alcohol and you give him wisdom and understanding and help in everything that he does. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesse, stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. We're coming up on a break, everyone. We'll have more to Every Man an Answer right after this. We'll be right back.
The Ministry of Preborn saves babies' lives and souls by meeting moms where they're at and introducing them to their preborn baby on ultrasound.
As soon as I saw that heartbeat, it was over. I cried the hottest tears I've ever cried, and I felt a fire in my belly and in my soul. And God touched me that day. He pierced my heart for my child, and I felt love.
Preborn is the number one competition to the abortion industry, providing free ultrasounds and ultrasound machines to Christian pregnancy centers nationwide. Because when an abortion-minded woman meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life for her baby. To learn how you can rescue a baby's life, just go to csnradio.com and click on the preborn banner or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. All gifts are tax deductible.
You dialed in to CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, broadcasting on nearly 400 stations nationwide, including over 30 stations in Oregon. You can listen in Baker City, Klamath Falls, Portland, Coos Bay, Redmond, and many more stations throughout Oregon and the nation. For the station nearest you, log online to csnradio.com. This is CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN International. Inspired worship from the hearts of believers. This is CSN International.
We want to welcome you back to part two on this Friday afternoon of To Every Man an Answer. John Randall, I'm your host, Mike Kessler. We're going to go right back to the phones, and we have Ricky on the line in Arizona. Hi and welcome. Looking for Ricky. Are you there, Ricky? Hi.
Yes, this is me and Ricky. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yes, we can. How can we help?
Yeah. A while back, I got invited to a Pentecostal church, and mm-hmm. I went there, and they were telling me that I needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then they were really, really causing me to want to, they're telling me that I had to speak in tongues. And they were showing me through the book of Acts where multiple times the Christians spoke in tongues, and they were saying that I needed to speak in tongues. And I was just like, I've heard you on the program say before in 1 Corinthians 12:30 that not everybody has the gift of speaking in tongues, you know.
Exactly.
So, but then the part about they said that I must be baptized in the name of Jesus. Can't be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have to be baptized. So I wasn't sure about them. I'm like, they preach, the way they were preaching was firing me up a bit because they were actually warning preaching, kind of, more than any church where I'm around, my little area that I'm at, does. So that's what was making me go. But then they're saying these certain things, and I'm like, ooh, I need to stay away.
Sure. Yeah, the reason, Ricky, the reason why is probably they're what's called a Jesus-only doctrine church. There is no Heavenly Father. There is no Holy Spirit. There's only Jesus only. And they use the excuse, well, Father is not a name, and Holy Spirit is not a name. Only Jesus is a name. And so, therefore, the name. And it's really sad because, we need to read the Word of God and not just the verses we like. The Bible says to baptize in the name, Jesus said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? In the name of means by the authority of. People try to make the name, when you're operating in God, of course it's about God. In the name of means by the authority of. If you're in a bank and a guy comes in with a mask on, he's probably got COVID. Sorry. No, if you're in a bank and they come in wearing a mask and he's got a gun and there's a plain clothes cop there and he pulls his gun on the robber and says, stop. Here it is. In the name of the law. In the name of means by the authority of the law, you're robbing a bank. That's illegal. In the name of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that is all by the authority of us baptizing somebody as Jesus said to do. And this is unfortunate because, again, if you'll probably look at their doctrine, they don't believe in the Father or in the Holy Spirit. And, of course, Jesus, when he was baptized, there was a voice from heaven. This is my beloved son, hear him. The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down and rested upon him. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to his Father in heaven. He wasn't praying to himself. We have in John 17, Jesus' prayer for us. We find John 2:22, where it says, he that denies the Father and the Son. Now, if you look in the Greek, it's speaking of entity. So he that denies that there's a Heavenly Father, that there's Jesus Christ, hath the spirit of Antichrist. Wow. That is major black eye for the Jesus-only crowd. See, because again, they deny the Father, they deny the Holy Spirit. They say it's just Jesus only. And so they put the emphasis then on baptism in Jesus' name. And this is simply because they don't read the Word of God properly. Because again, if they did, they would see Jesus praying to his Father in the garden. They would see when he was baptized, the voice from heaven. He wasn't being a ventriloquist, bouncing his voice off a cloud. Here's my beloved son. Oh, please. No, it was Jesus being baptized. It was those that agreed the triunity of God. And they say, oh, it's some freakish three-headed thing. Well, if that's the way you think about it, then you got real theological problems. Because if you go back to the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the word for God there is not the singular word or Yahweh. It's the word Elohim, which speaks of the plurality of gods. Oh, wow. So now what? Zeus, Hermes, Buddha, Muhammad? No. The rest of the Bible tells you who this Elohim is. And interestingly enough, God reveals himself to us as a three personage picture. Now, again, so are we. It's interesting that we are created in the image of God. Let us make man in our image. God was not speaking to the angels. Nowhere in the Bible do you ever find angels are procreative. They are only messengers, warriors, protectors, but they're not defenders, but they are not procreative. And so he says, let us make man in our image. You are a body, you're a mind, and you're a spirit. Jesus said, you must be born again. Something's wrong with the spirit in a man. You can talk to a drunk, say, do you know you need to stop drinking? They will look at you and say emphatically, yes, I need to stop drinking. Will you stop drinking? No. Why? Because my body wants the alcohol. Well, that means you're hooked up. And that means that you're no longer functioning as an individual. You're functioning after the bottle. See, Jesus said to a religious leader, a high-ranking religious leader in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Wow, that's a pretty strong statement to a religious leader. You must be born again. It's not within man to live righteously. This is something God does. John, your thoughts.
You know, in Matthew 28:19, which is called the Great Commission, the last words of Jesus to his disciples say, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So those are the words of Jesus. And I would take the words of Jesus over anybody else's words. The second thing that I would say to you as it relates to the passages in the book of Acts, what you find there is some people had only been baptized in the baptism of John the Baptist. And so to say they were baptizing them in Jesus' name, it means that they were showing them that this is the work that had been completed. And so they were baptized. But this is Jesus' words, the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Last thing that I would say to you, as it relates to the gift of tongues, you pointed it out very clearly, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not everybody has the gift of tongues. It is a gift, not the gift. And sometimes in the Pentecostal circles, they say, if you've really been baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you must speak in tongues. That's not what the Bible says. The greatest demonstration that you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit is a changed life, character. Something has changed in your life. It is a gift, but it's not the gift. And by the way, the greatest gift is love. So may God help us to walk in that gift.
Yeah, and again, they focus on these things. Paul, the apostle, when he had just been converted, when he was Saul going around persecuting the church, he gets to Damascus and he meets Ananias, and there they prayed for him and he received the Holy Spirit. It does not say that he spoke in tongues. It says something like scales fell off his eyes. So they say, well, everywhere in the Bible, people got filled with the Spirit. They were speaking in tongues. Not there. Now, evidently, Paul later in his ministry did get the gift of tongues, but not there. And if they would record the details of Paul's conversion and him being Spirit-filled, but they did not record him speaking in other tongues, but something like scales fell off his eyes, I think people need to be very careful in adding to God's word. Paul, again, says, do all pray in tongues? Do all have the gift of healing? Whenever you find a question in the Greek written in the negative, the answer is always negative. Like when you look at your children, do you want me to spank you? Oh, yes, very much so. No, they say no. Why? Because the question is negative. Do you want me to spank you? No. Do all pray in tongues? No. But if you don't have one gift, you will have another one of the gifts. The Bible says that he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. When he's built up, he builds up others. But there's a lot of different members in the body of Christ to respond and to do and be about our Father's business. Ricky, hope that helps.
Yeah, that helped a lot. I like that. Thank you.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. Again, if you examine closer, I believe you'll probably find that church is what's called a Jesus-only doctrine. And the Bible says, again, John 2:22, he that denies the Father and the Son hath the spirit of Antichrist. Pretty serious. Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. With that, we'll go to Paul, Dallas, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Bob, Mike. And how are you doing today?
Good. How may we help?
Doing well. I have had a question for a long time, that I've been meditating about this, and I'm looking through the scriptures for it, and looking for some commentary that maybe people have done online regarding the trumpet call, and when the dead in Christ shall be mm-hmm. raised. I've understood through the scriptures that when a believer dies, that they're immediately in the presence of the Lord, and then they're in heaven. So if we're in heaven already, those who are believers, and there are probably millions upon millions of people throughout the beginning of time
yes.
have perished mm-hmm. on the earth, why would there be a need necessarily for have the dead in Christ to be raised?
Because you don't have a body. Now, again, a couple of things. Number one, the reason we are raptured, we're taken to heaven, the dead in Christ rise first. You're reunited with a glorified body. I believe anybody right now who has died in faith is not lacking anything in heaven because it's a spiritual place. But when we come back to rule and reign with Christ, as Paul says, we're not exactly sure what we're going to be, but we know when we see him, we're going to be like him. We're going to get a glorified body. Now, I believe this is extremely important in ruling and reigning with Christ. And the reason I believe we're taken to heaven and then we come back with him at the end of the tribulation period is we have gone through what's called the Bema Seat Judgment. Now, the Bema Seat Judgment is not a condemnation judgment. It is the reward seat of Christ. Jesus spoke often about it. One person was given 5 talents, 1, 2, 1, 1, or 10, 5, and 1. Those that did well with what they were given, he said, be ruler over 10 cities. Interesting that the talent, the monetary value, turned into being a ruler over cities. But that's not just a nice cliche or a faux pas. It is actually, I believe, exactly what happens. When we have been faithful with what God has given us here on this earth, because the Bible says for us to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven, the Bible says we will rule and reign with him. I believe the reason we're raptured, while we're in heaven, the earth is going through this 7-year tribulation period, and the reward seat of Christ, the books will be opened. I believe all the things that we did with the right motive, the wood, the hay, the stubble, it burns up. But the things that were done in the right motive, those things God will reward us. Everybody living right now, I believe as a Christian, you're determining what position you're going to hold in heaven forever, what position you're going to hold during the millennial reign of Christ. I think it's really important. I've had people say, well, you know, Brother Mike, I just want to get to heaven by the skin of my teeth. Well, if you make it, here's the deal. You may not care about rewards now, but you will then, and you'll be glad you're getting some. And I believe every minister should be equipping the people in their church to get as maximum amount of rewards as you possibly can get. And so to focus on the major, minor on the minors. We don't want to waste our time on things that doesn't matter. But we want to be about our Father's business. And so I believe that that marriage supper of the Lamb that Jesus spoke of before the millennial reign of Christ during the tribulation on earth in heaven, it's going to be the reward seat, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we go back to the earth to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 is the passage that you're referring to. And it does say that the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. You know, and then Paul would go on to say there, Pastor Mike, comfort one another with these words. I can't think of anything more comforting than to know that he's coming. But I will say this question concerning the dead in Christ rising first. You know, I remember listening to my pastor, Pastor Chuck. He used to say, they do. The dead in Christ they do rise first. They're to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And here's what we know for sure. And this is where sometimes people get the question, well, what are they going to be doing? Are they disembodied spirits? Are they just floating around? No, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As you said, Pastor Mike, we have everything that we need. And the good news is we're getting a glorified body. So those who have died they're with the Lord, who are believers in Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about it. They have everything they need. They're experiencing joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And so sometimes people get confused on that as it relates to timing.
So again, Jesus had a very unique body. He offered Thomas to put the fingers in the holes in his hand, thrust his hand into his side. He could eat, which is good news for all of us that like to eat. Yet he vanished out of their sight. And so this is a body different than anything I've known, but this is the immortal body that we're going to put on. And the immortality is what we're going to need to just have a body that can stand in the presence of God. So there's two ways of looking at that verse. I've had people say that basically, well, they've already ascended into heaven. The Greek doesn't lend itself so much to that. It seems that the dead in Christ rise first at the sound of the trumpet, and then those that are alive and remain are transformed as they're rising. We catch up with them, and we all go up to heaven together. Because, again, heaven is a spiritual place. It doesn't need a body of flesh and blood, I believe, like ours does, to rule and reign with him on this earth. The timing of this rapture and when we get this glorified body, I think is extremely important because it's right before the millennial reign of Christ. So I hope that sheds some light on it for you, Paul. God bless you.
It does. Thank you. I appreciate you guys very much.
Well, God's good. And it's now stay online. We want to send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. And with that, we'll go to David in Grand Junction, Colorado. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, brother?
Good. How may we help?
Oh, well, I got touched by Jesse as I was driving. I had to pull over, and I made the phone call. And, you know, some of the words that the Lord spoke through you, just it really rang a bell because I can share my testimony, and I hope he's listening, that, you know, this thing with alcohol, amongst other things, and anybody out there struggling with anything that controls you. But, you know, I was at the point in my life where my world was crumbling apart, and I really liked alcohol. I'm Irish. And it's like, but, you know, there was a lot of things that I never really thought about that with the drinking, you know, it comes like hiding, pulling the covers over your head from reality, making you, you know, giving you strength that's artificial and on and on and on. But nevertheless, I like sucking down the suds. But I felt the tug of Jesus coming back to, you know, pulling me back. And I'm sitting there reading scriptures and swilling beer. And I came across some scripture that talks about not entering into the, never seeing the kingdom of heaven, you know, being a drunkard and other things that convicted me. And I just like, all of a sudden, I just like stopped in my tracks. And I said, now, Lord, you know that I like this stuff. But if you don't want that in my life, take it from me. And I'm going to tell you, you said something about the once step program. Well, the next day I'm coming home from work and I'm about to slide in to get my next nightly supply, and all of a sudden something came over me, and I just want to bring glory to God, man. It's been 7 years I haven't had alcohol on my lips.
Wonderful.
Praise God.
So yeah, God's a deliverer. The one step program is the best.
Yes.
When I heard Jesse speak and everything, I'm in Grand Junction right now. I live in Silt, and I would like to tell the man that I've been coming down to attend the Calvary down here for a spell. And if he wants to, you know, come to Calvary on Morning Glory on Sunday morning, I'll probably be there at the 10:30 service. Look for David with a ponytail. I would be more than happy to, like, you know, make a brand new brother and friend and you know, I pray with him and whatever God, you know, wants to do between the two of us. So, Jesse, if you're out there, I'd love to meet you, brother.
Well, there you go. And again, because, you know, there's no temptation, the Bible says, that has befallen man that really is beyond the healing of God. And I think a lot of times we think, oh, my case is so unique and so bad. And, oh, you know, I'm not ever going to get out of this. But, you know, really, when you really look at it, Jesus bore it all for us. And I think this is why it's so important that we as Christians watch out for one another. And I really appreciate your heart, your concern, David, to reach out for our brother here. And so hopefully He caught that. And again, look forward to great miracles. Okay.
Thanks for having me on. And you guys are great. Keep up, pressing on. You know, we're all in this together. We're his body. We're his people. And we just need to acknowledge what's our lane. And just like this phone call right here, it was the prompting of the Holy Spirit that made me pull out of traffic and find a safe place to make this phone call. You know, I believe that's a bane, you know, the greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world, you know. So it's all the glory goes to God, all the glory in Jesus' name. That's
David. Amen. I think it's so important. Well, God bless you. Stay on the line. If you like, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll enjoy. With that, we'll go to Alan in California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
And my question is, how can a person overcome a habit of lying?
Okay, John, your thoughts.
Well, you know, the Bible tells us that it's important to walk in the truth. You know, if you find that you're lying, usually I think of one example of this throughout the scriptures where, you know, when we end up, you know, ask something and then our immediate response is a lie. Listen, we walk in the truth. And if we walk in the truth, then we're not going to need to lie. Sometimes we lie because we try to cover something up. We don't want to be held accountable, or we like to live in shadows. But listen, like any other sin, whether it's like we've talked about today, alcohol or something, some other kind of sin, the only way to overcome it is to repent of it, to turn from it, and to start doing the opposite of what we would normally do in the flesh. And, you know, if you know the truth is what sets you free. Jesus said, I am the truth. And so it's important that we make the right decisions and really gain some accountability in those areas as well.
So, I don't believe that we as believers need to fear truth. And so we want to be careful. And usually, if we'll look why, you know, what is the, who am I hanging around with that requires me to lie? I think that's probably one of the biggest issues. And I think that's what you got to look at. Alan, is there a particular reason why?
Well, I'm trying to overcome it. And what I'm finding is I'm in counseling. And what I'm finding is when I was young, I was in my dad was very physical and abusive. So I used that as a safe harbor, I guess. And then it just kind of gradually over the years, it just kind of, when I got stressed out or if I did something wrong, that was my go-to to safe. But, it, you know, it always comes out, you know, and I don't know why I haven't learned until now, but it just was a safe place for me, I guess. And I'm trying to defeat it. So,
yes. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you have power over our infirmities. And Lord, for every person listening that is in this same place, God, that you would deliver us. We all of us, Lord, struggle with some things. Mm-hmm. And so we just ask you that you would help Alan understand that his truth is in you. And so, God, in you there is no darkness at all, no shadow of turning. And so just ask you that you would give him that peace that passes understanding to know that he can tell the truth, rest in that, and Father, that you deliver him from these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And those listening as well. And we all say, amen. So I hope that helps, Alan. I mean, I know it's going to help. And you again, look, if there's a sin, I always tell people, if there's a sin that's habitual, that reoccurs regularly, look and see where that sin is happening and then avoid that place. Usually sin happens at a place, either with someone at a place or a group of people, whatever it might be. But the thing is, avoid that place that causes us to be so easily beset, that besets our faith. Because, you know, when we play on the wrong side of the fence, we waste time of what God really wants to do. John, we got a couple of minutes, a couple seconds left.
I was going to say on that point, you know, the passage of scripture, Alan, two that come to mind, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. You don't have to live in lies anymore. You can walk in the truth, and the truth will set you free, brother.
Amen. Alan, stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Thanks, John, for being on the program today there at San Juan Capistrano. And just want to encourage you to keep going on. And again, remember Brad Duckus at the River Christian Fellowship this Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 10:30, Mountain Time on CSN. God bless you.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.